even though we are living this situation, we're still able to be in contact and open our church via, in this case, Facebook live stream. So that's a blessing in technology as well. And also, as Brother Mike says, we have our prayer meetings during, of course, during the week via Zoom. All right. Today, I'm going to start a series of sermons about isolation, because this is something that we're hearing every time, right? And we're living in isolation. And I was thinking, how Bible characters responded to isolation. And I found out that there's a lot of people in the Bible that have to go through isolation. I don't know if you have noticed that. But I'm going to give you some examples of that. So I'm going to start with Noah, but later we're going to talk about some other characters in the Bible that due to different circumstances in their lives, they had to go through isolation and social distances, right? And they responded in different way. But one thing they have in common is that God has a purpose for that event in their lives. And brothers and sisters, let me tell you something. Nothing happened by chance. Nothing in my life, nothing in your life happened by chance. God has a purpose. Don't you think so? Even, you know, the what we're living right now, God knew about it. And it is part of God's plan for my spiritual life. The isolation that these Bible characters went through also had a purpose. And God knew it was part of God's plan for them. And like I said, they all responded in different way. And even Jesus went through isolation at one point. I have the privilege to be in Jerusalem a couple of years ago and visited the place where Jesus was incarcerated. And he spent the night in that hole, right? And there's nothing there. So when I was there, I was thinking, you know, Jesus, I was trying to portray in my mind, picture in my mind, Jesus being there, spend the night there by himself. So we all have been through isolation at one point. And again, there's a purpose for this. So let's see if we can... how many of you remember the story? The miners, right? From Chile. 33 of them spent more than 2 months under the ground, buried, alive, right? It was a great story in how they rescued them, right? And then I read this joke about them, right? They say, well, you know, when all this started and we have to be confined, they will say, well, if the miners survive the confinement, so can you. And then someone wrote, yeah, but they don't have the wife with them. So this is a joke, of course, right? So they survived. The great stories, right? And there is actually a movie of them, how they survived confinement and isolation for so many days. Right. What's isolation? I like always to define and what's the definition of isolation? It's a state of separation between person or groups. So we're separated, right? Since the pandemic started and the shelter-in-place orders started here in California, we have been isolated from one each other, right? From groups to groups, families to families. We cannot meet at church. We cannot celebrate big gatherings at church, unfortunately, because of the nature of this pandemic. So it's a separation of people. Isolation separates people, right? The complete separation from others of a person suffering from contagious or infectious disease, quarantine. This is in the medical field, right? That's, you have to separate people so people don't get infected with others. Even isolation is a word used in psychology, psychoanalysis, a process whereby an idea or memory is divested of its emotional component. What does it mean that, especially Freud, Sigmund Freud, he came up with this concept of defensing mechanism in our minds to separate a memory that causes hurt, emotional hurt, to separate it, like kind of put it away so we don't remember it, so it cannot cause us pain, emotional pain anymore. That's isolation on the field of psychology. Now we have social isolation, okay, that's a mistake right there. A state of process in which persons, groups, or culture lose or do not have communication or cooperation with one another, often resulting in an open conflict. This is a social isolation. Now we live in social isolation because of this pandemic for medical reasons, again, but the effects are very similar, okay? Now, this is something really bad for us that we have to live for, through, but God has a purpose, because God has a purpose for everything. And this is one of my points today. God has a purpose. And as you can read in Proverbs 19:21, many are the plans in a person's heart. We have many plans, right? Before March, we have many plans, right? We have a calendar of activities. We have schedules. We have events. You know, we have plans. But listen to this. But it is the Lord's purpose that what? Prevails. Amen? Amen. So it's always God's purpose. It is the Lord's purpose. And like I said, we're living through this pandemic, this isolation, because God allowed it to do so. God allowed us to go through this, and it's up to us to discover the purpose for this. And we're going to see these Bible character stories, how they discover the purpose. And hopefully that helps us to understand better and to experience a better time, because many of us might get anxious about it. Many of us may get discouraged about it. But let's take a look at Bible characters and see how they deal with isolation, how they understood isolation, and what was God's purpose for that. Okay? Romans 8:28, and we know that all things... Amen? So what all things means? All things, all things, right? That's an absolute word. Nothing left aside. All things, God works for the good of those who love Him. Do you love Jesus? Do you love God? Yes. Yeah, so all things that happens to you has a purpose. A good purpose, right? Who have been called according to what? His purpose again. So, brothers and sisters, do not be discouraged for what we live in right now. Because we know that we love God and He has a purpose. I don't know. And for each of us, we're going to respond in a different way. Each of us is going to respond in a different way. And for each of us, it's going to leave a lesson. All right? For you and for me. It might be a different lesson. That's why we're going to study this diverse Bible characters, because isolation for them leave a different lesson from one another. All right. So, what are the Bible characters that I could find? Well, I'm not going to talk about all of them, but some of them. We're talking about Noah today. He was isolated. How much the flood lasted? Someone said that more than a year, or about a year total. Since they entered the ark, and they waited for 7 days, right? And there the water started raising, and they started rising. But they didn't come out of the ark right before that. So they spent almost a year in isolation. Okay? How many months have we been in isolation? 2 months, maybe? Right? A little bit more than that. I'm not saying that we're going to be in that situation for 1 year, but you know, Noah's isolation lasted for more than a year. Can you imagine that? Try to imagine that. We're going to study more about that. Elijah, okay? He fled from Jezebel, and he went to the desert. And he was fed by the ravens, right? He was fed by the ravens sent by God. And also he drank water from the creek. He was there. God has a purpose for that too. How about Moses? How many years he spent in the desert by himself after he killed the Egyptian? 40 years of isolation. Now God has a purpose for that as well. And he responded in a different way. His circumstances were different than Noah's circumstances. And he responded positively. Okay, how about David? Also, he was fleeing from King Saul, right? And he lived in the caves with a group of men in the desert. He was like a dog running away from people. God has a purpose for that isolation time. Are you with me? How about John the Baptist? Well, he was also incarcerated, right? And he was, while he was there in that prison by himself, he was wondering, you know, if Jesus was the Messiah. Remember, he sent some people to ask Jesus, are you the one who was supposed to come? Or do we wait for another one? Remember that? So also he has his isolation time. How about Apostle John? He was in this island, right? The last days. That's when he wrote the book of Revelation. So his isolation was different. And the purpose for that isolation for him was also different. So he can concentrate in writing maybe one of the most important books of the Bible, Revelation. So great things can come out of isolation. Are you with me? So it's not something negative. How about Apostle Paul? Also, he was incarcerated. He was taken to Rome, right? He was in jail, in prison. But even when he was in jail, he was able to witness to others. So this, his isolation also has another purpose. How about Jonah? Jonah has a kind of peculiar, right, type of isolation. He was by himself in a tummy, inside a tummy, the belly of this big fish. I don't want to have that kind of isolation. But, you know, God allowed Jonah to lead through this type of isolation because he has a purpose. He was a rebel, right? God told him to do something, he went the opposite direction. So, I don't know. I think we need to ask ourselves every day, God, why you allow me to live through this? What is the purpose? Because everything that God allows to go through has a purpose. It's for our own good. How about Joseph? Right? Joseph. And finally, Jesus. Jesus was by himself at one point. All right. So let's go to Noah's circumstances. What was going on earth? Matthew 24, 37 through 39. If you have your Bible, please open your Bible. Matthew 24, 37 to 39. It's right there on the screen. Hopefully you can see it. As it was in the day of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, up to the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. That is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. So it was, Jesus used this story to compare the stage of things, the status of things at the end of times. And he compared to the end of times in Noah. Keep confusing. They were married. They were married and given in marriage. They were drinking. They were celebrating. And I have from the book Patterson Prophet this paragraph from L.G. White that describes the situation. And look at this. It's very similar to what is going on right now. Okay? God bestowed upon the antediluvians many and rich gifts. But they used his beautiness to glorify themselves. So the bounties, yes, thank you, to glorify themselves. So instead of using those gifts to glorify God, they were selfish and they will glorify themselves instead and turn them into a curse. So be careful when God gives you a gift to glorify him, but you instead use it to glorify you and for your own benefit, that turn into what? A curse. Dangerous, right? So may all we use our gifts to glorify God. By fixing their affections upon the gifts instead of the giver. So they love the gifts, but not the giver. Alright? How many of us, and I'm preaching to myself right now, may love more the gifts. May love more the blessings than the blesser. Okay? They employ the gold and silver, the precious stones, and the choice wood in the construction of habitation for themselves and endeavor to excel one another. They were competing. Who has the prettiest house? Who has the biggest house? Right? They were. That sounds familiar today, brothers and sisters. Okay. I'm competing with my neighbor. He got a new car. Well, I get a better car. Hopefully not. Right? But that was the speed back then, and I think the speed right now. See who can make more, have better things in this world. They endeavor to excel one another and in unifying their dwellings with the most skillful workmanship. They sought only, listen to this, to gratify the desires of their own proud hearts. Now we're talking about people before the flood, right? For the flood. It's a very similar condition to what is going on right now, right? People's hearts. And revealed in scenes of pleasure and wickedness, not deciding to retain God in their knowledge, they soon came to deny his existence. So they were atheists. Are you with me? Okay. Our society, many people, they deny God. Right? Many of them. Or many of them may say, okay, yes, I believe in God. But when it comes to action and when it comes to tribulation, they don't believe in God. They say they believe. They think they believe. But they don't trust God. Right? They adore nature in place of the God of nature. So God was replaced. Right? And for today's society, when they place science upon God, when they place science in a higher level than God, they're actually worshiping nature. Because science is nature, right? They glorify human genius, worship it, the works of their own hands, and tell their children. Wow. They taught their children to bow down to graven images. We've been studying the book, The Great Controversy. And in our church, in our Zoom meetings, we have discussion about the importance of parents teaching the truth, teaching the Bible to their kids. We talk about the wilderness, how important they were, you know, taught their kids about God. And also we talk about Wycliffe and John Huss, how their respective mothers have a big influence, positive influence upon them because they taught Christian principles to them, right? So here we have the antediluvians. They taught their children to go against God, to bow down to grave images. They taught them, in other words, idolatry. Are you with me? So what are we teaching to our kids today? Hopefully we're teaching Christian principles. Amen. So there was materialism and idolatry. The people first beheld the destruction of the works of their own hands, their splendid buildings, and the beautiful gardens and groves where they had placed their idols. You see, brothers and sisters, the world before the flood, it was a beautiful world. Beautiful cities, right? It was just the heart that was corrupted of people. But, you know, nature was wonderful and wonderful buildings. So when the flood came, they witnessed that. Okay? The destruction of their materials, belongings. So gardens and groves where they had placed the idols were destroyed by lightning from heaven, and the ruins were scattered far and wide. Scattered far and wide. The altars in which human sacrifices, wow. They performed what? Human sacrifices, even before the flood. I never knew this. I never heard this, but something that I learned. They performed human sacrifice before the flood. So the altars on which human sacrifices had been offered were torn down, and the worshippers were made to tremble at the power of the living God and to know what it was their corruption and idolatry which had called down their destruction. Okay. So what was God's purpose for Noah? By allowing him and his family to go through this isolation, to witness the world, right? For 120 years, he was building this ark. That was a testimony for the people. And people thought that he was crazy, that he was a lunatic, that never rained before. You know that, right? And he was, you know, urging the people to repent because people was idolatrous. They were idolaters. They were corrupted. They were wicked. So how this pandemic, how this isolation that you and I are going through, can we use as a way to witness to others? Can we use this purpose also in our lives? I think so. You know how? The way you respond to anxiety. You know, going through this pandemic caused anxiety. Okay? Has caused many mental health issues. We all know that, right? But you and I, if we have faith in God, if we trust God, there is no reason to distress. There is no reason to be anxious. So, if you show trust in God, peace in your heart, you are witnessing to others. And actually, you can also be a source of encouragement to others. Are you with me? So let's use this isolation time to do witnessing. That God is with us. May the people around us see God in us. Not because we are good, but because we receive the Holy Spirit. And the fruit of the Holy Spirit is love. And one of the fruit of, and also the fruit of the Spirit is peace. Do you have peace in this pandemic? I hope so. have peace because, you know, what can I do? Worrying is not going to solve the problem. Right? Of course, you have to take the precautions, right? But we are witness by the way you respond to the pandemic. Just be in peace. And people are going to wonder, hey, how come this person is so peaceful in the midst of all this trouble? Oh, and they will start wondering. And they're going to start asking, why? And that's your chance, opportunity to say, I'm peaceful because I believe in God. I trust God. And He is my refuge. Amen? Right. What's the other purpose for this isolation for Noah? To increase his faith on God. You're going to see that from Ellen G. White. To be a blessing to his family. Okay? He was able to save his family. Okay? From the flood. We know in Hebrews chapter 11, 7, by faith Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen, in reverent fear constructed an ark for the saving of his household. So by him remaining faithful, he was able also not only to save his life, but also his household, his family. Now that we spend more time with family, right? Let's take advantage of that. So we can increase our influence with our family, positive influence. All right. And it says, continue saying here in verse 7, by this is condemned the world. By this he condemned the world and became a heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. The Bible tells us, if we read the story, that God chose Noah because he was righteous. He was the only one. So in times of crisis, being righteous makes a difference. So may we remain faithful to God every time. To spare him and his family from the unrighteous people. Okay? And grace was able for everyone. Salvation was available for everyone. Right? God made salvation for everyone. Available. But everybody rejected it. All right. This is from Patriarchs and Prophets. What was Noah's response? So what is the response? Because sooner or later, and now everybody in this world, we're going through tribulation. We're going through isolation. But I think at the end of times, at the very end of times, when the biggest crisis and times tribulations come to this world, we're going to be as isolated again. Right? We believe so. It will be a time when, again, we're not going to be able to meet at church. Right? When we know that the final event, that we're going to be prohibited to open our church, and we're going to be persecuted, and we're going to be isolated. So, I think this isolation time is a rehearsal for what is coming. And how are we going to respond to that? You know, brothers and sisters, Noah's ride, Noah's and his family ride on that boat wasn't an easy ride. Right? But they didn't complain. So, our ride to heaven, it's not going to be an easy ride. It's not going to be easy. And it's not going to be a long ride. But we need to stay calm and be flexible. We're going to see that later, but let's read this one. For 7 days, 7 days after Noah and his family. Can you imagine 7 days? You know, the sense of time is relative, right? I remember when I was a kid, when I was a child, the days last longer, right? One day was like maybe 2 or 3 days now, at my age. I don't know if that happened to you, but I could do many, many things in one day, even taking a nap, maybe. That's why, you know, it seems to be a long day. But now, for me, days sometimes are very short. Like, I wish days will have like 20, 27 hours, but they only have 24. So has the time contracted? No. It is my perception of time, right? So it's not the same being for 7 days at home, having everything, that being 7 days in a boat with all the animals and people outside yelling at you, right? So try to think about Noah and his family, you know, being in this boat for 7 days. And on top of that, didn't rain. Hasn't rained. What went through his mind? Isolation times, brothers and sisters, taste our faith. Isolation time, brothers and sisters, taste our character. Are you with me? You got that? For 7 days, look, Noah and his family entered the ark. There appeared no sign of the coming storm. And probably if you look at the news, right, the Weather Channel show no rain on the radar, right? So they start thinking, hey, what's going on? During this period, their faith was tested. I underlined and bolded that. So in this isolation time, God is testing my faith. And God is testing your faith as well. Maybe in a different way. Maybe many of us are wondering what's going to happen with the economy. What's going to happen? I mean, are we going to finally get rid of this virus? Are we able to go back to the normal? Or the new normal, how they call it. And we get anxious. This is a time of our certainty. We don't know the future. But God is testing our faith. And we should be like Noah. Remain faithful to God. And remain in peace. Alright? I invite you to be in peace. Live, to rest in the Lord. Relax. What can you, you know, what Noah can do about it? First day, nothing happened. Second day, nothing happened. Third day, nothing happened. And then people outside, as we're going to read, people outside was yelling, maybe throwing rocks and making fun of them. Maybe he was okay, but how about his kids? Sometimes the kids don't have the same faith. Strong faith of the fathers, the parents. How about the wife? How about the daughters-in-law? Right? And then, I don't know if you heard, but, you know, a lot of the domestic violence incidents had increased since the shelter-in-place orders started. Do you know that? In everywhere, domestic violence. Arguments. Now we had this family, right? We had the 3 sons and the 3 wives. And they get jealous of one another, right? And we had all this conflict going on. So a lot of tension, maybe a lot of stress, right? That's why he says his faith was tested. They were living a crisis. So every time there is a crisis, our faith is going to be tested. But that is good, right? Why? Because if we remain faithful, our faith is going to be stronger. And we're going to be more faithful to God. It was time of triumph to the world without. So the people outside, they say, hey, you see, we were right. Noah was wrong. The apparent delay confirmed that in the belief that Noah's message was a delusion and that the flood would never come. Notwithstanding the solemn scenes which they had witnessed, the beasts and the birds entering the ark, and the angel of God closing the door. It's very important. They still continued their sports and reverie, even making a jest of 10 signal manifestation of God's power. They gathered crowns about the ark, deriding its inmates, deriding its inmates with a daring violence. They even became violent. Can you imagine that? Which they had never ventured upon before. So the violence against the ark and against the inmates of the ark increased. And they were mocking God, making fun of them. Terrible situation. Because it was a delay. Is this reopening being delayed? Yes. And we might get impatient. And we might get frustrated. But this is the test that we have to go through. Right? And it's going to make us stronger. God is preparing us to that last crisis in this world. Where again, like I said before, we all going to get isolated. There will be no church anymore. It's going to be only you and God. I don't mean to scare people. But that's what's going to happen. We know that. That's in the Bible, right? So we are developing, we are cultivating patience and faith in God right now with this. Right there, cultivate patience. Noah and his family anxiously, so he was anxious, we had to, you know, be patient. Wait for the decrease of the waters, for they longed to go forth again upon the earth. 40 days after, so he had to wait more. The tops of the mountains become visible. They send out a raven. Okay? So Noah said, okay, maybe it's time for us to go out, but let's check it out first, right? So maybe he called one of the kids, hey, if it wasn't these days, he could get maybe a drone, right? You see those drones? That they fly and they control to scan the earth. So they send a raven. What happened to the raven? A bird of quick zeal to discover water that earth had become dry. This bird, finding nothing but water, continued to fly to and from the ark. 7 days later, a dove was sent forth, which, finding no footing, returned to the ark. Noah waited 7 days longer and again sent forth the dove. So they were anxious to come out, right? Just like we are right now. I'm anxious, right? But God is teaching me patience. Just be patient. So when the day comes and we all have to be confined, isolated because of religious reasons, and you all know what I'm talking about, we can be patient. We can wait in the Lord. Because He one day will come and deliver us. When she returned at evening with an olive leaf in her mouth, there was great rejoicing. Of course. And I can imagine, brothers and sisters, when we finally, after all this, be able to open this church again. It will be a day of rejoicing. Amen? Amen. I long for that day. And I want to see you here, as well as in my Exeter church. Be together. So the same thing will be at the end of times. We all gonna be separated, isolated from one another. And we're gonna be waiting for that time when Jesus returns and take us home. And we sing that song, right? When we all get together in heaven. Can you imagine that day? That will be a day of rejoicing. Now, Noah removed the covering of the ark and looked, and behold, the face of the ground was dry. Still, look, were they anxious to go out? Yes, but still, he has self-control. Still, he waited patiently. Brothers and sisters, let's wait patiently. We have to learn how to wait. Amen? Amen. And not only in this situation, every situation in life. We are in this society, we're used to get the things right away, right? We have this fast food restaurant, fast, okay? Rápido, pronto, fast, quickly, right now. And we get so impatient, right? So God is teaching us. Remember, God is working in my character and in your character, which is the only thing we're going to take heaven. So this isolation time, tell me how to wait patiently. Amen? So still he waited patiently within the ark. As he had entered at God's command, he waited again for a special direction to depart. So even though he has a proof that the earth was dry, he didn't trust in his own wisdom, but he waited for the Lord's direction. Amen? All right. As a time, so this isolation also has a purpose to redirect our minds. To start thinking what is essential. This is a very popular word right now, essential. What is important? What is my priority? Are you with me? As the time of the probation was closing, the antediluvians gave themselves up to exciting amusements and festivities. So where the antediluvian's minds was? On festivities, okay? Those on parties. Those who possess influence and power were bent in keeping the minds of the people engrossed with the mirth and pleasure. Mirth and pleasure. So there was leaders, people of influence, who will control people's minds and direct their minds to pleasure, but not to God. Does that sound familiar? Who controls society? Media, right? You know, we are under control of media, television, movies, in every aspect, philosophy, the way of thinking. They manipulate our minds so easily if we let them. Are you with me? So, same thing happened over there. Lest any should be impressed by the last solemn warning. Do we not see the same repeated in our day? This is Ellen G. White again. That was her days. Okay. The 1800s. Years, and now it's happening today, 2020, same thing. While God's servants are giving the message that the end of all things is at hand, the world is absorbed in amusements and pleasure seeking. Right? There is a constant round of excitement that causes indifference to God. and prevents the people from being impressed by the truth, which alone can save them from the coming destruction. So, what is people's mind? They're seeking for excitements, right? Have you seen those? Suddenly in social media comes all sort of different challenges. Excuse me. Just to experience something different. Those are excitements. Instead of focusing our minds, redirecting our minds to God and what is going on right now. All right, let's finish this. He developed gratefulness. At last, an angel descended from heaven, opened the massive door. The Bible tells us also, and the Bible tells us that it was God who shut the door, and he's God who opened the door. Amen? For me, that means God is in control. And when God is in control, you just need to surrender your life to God. Say, you know, here's my life. There's things that you have no control, but God has control. Our problem begins when we try to control the situation. But, you know, before this pandemic, what can we do? There's part we can do, right? But we're so limited in control. But we have to remember that God is in control. And he, you know, take care of things. So he sent the angel to open the massive door and bade the patriarchs and his household go forth upon the earth and take with them every living thing. In the joy of the release, Noah did not forget him. So he developed gratefulness. And this should be also our response in this pandemic. I mean, we should be grateful. And I tell my kids, we should be grateful because we have a place to stay. We have something to eat. I'm grateful because, you know, God has protected our church. You know, all our family, our church members hasn't got this disease so far. Amen for that. And we have so many frontliners in our church, right? And God has protected them. So be grateful with God. We don't hear Noah complaining. Ellen G. White says that, you know, it was a rough ride. It was not a cruise. I've never been in a cruise ship. That's one of my plans. Hopefully. I don't know. But I heard that it's very nice to be in a cruise ship, right? Brother Paul?
Yes.
It is good. It is nice, right? You enjoy it. Well, Noah's heart wasn't that. It was unpleasant. It was animals. Animal drops. Praise God that we don't have that many cows here, right? Have you noticed that?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm so happy for that. Hopefully it stays the same. But can you imagine being so many days in this confined place? You have buffet, right? To eat. You pay whatever you can. But he never complained. So let's not complain. Because God has a purpose to shape my character and your character. Amen. Through this pandemic. Amen?
Amen?
All right. So Noah did not forget God, by whose gracious care they have been preserved. His first act. He just stepped, put a foot in the ground, on the ground, dry ground now. What was the first thing he did? After leaving the ark, was to build an altar and offer. Amen? So, what are we going to do? First time we come and worship God. Worship God. For every kind of clean beast and for a sacrifice. Thus manifesting his gratitude to God for the deliverance and his faith in Christ, the great sacrifice. Amen? Okay, we're almost done. This is very important. if we want to go through this confinement and this isolation, we have to learn to be flexible. You know, we as church, I remember when I was a child, when I came to the church first time, when I was 8 years old and 10 years old, I heard a lot of preachers talking about persecution. Do you remember that? Now, and I have to blame myself, okay? We don't preach that much about that. But we know the persecution, right? And even people was thinking, okay, we're going to flee to this place, we're going to be in the cave. That's uncomfortable, right? Living, okay, I have problems sleeping. I have to use a special pillow, right? And I was thinking, well, what happens when persecution comes? Am I able to take my pillow with me? No, you have to adapt. All right? And look at this. They had to adapt to a new normal. And by reading this, I'm not promoting eating meat, okay? But they had to adapt their diet without complaining. Are you with me? So we're going to, after this, everybody said that we're going to go to a new normal. Meaning things are not going to be the same anymore. And we had to adapt to a new normal. Now listen to this. As Noah looked upon the powerful beast of prey that came forth with him from the ark, he feared that his family, numbering only 8 persons, would be destroyed by them. But the Lord sent an angel, again, God is right there, to his servant with the assuring message, the fear of you and the dread of you shall be upon every beast of the earth and upon every fowl of the air, upon all the movement upon the air, and upon the fishes of the sea. Into your hand are they delivered. Now, listen to this. This is the new normal for them. Every moving thing that lives shall be what? Meat for you. Even as the green herb have I given you all things. So they had to adapt their diet. Not because, you know, it was the best deal, but because of the circumstances, right? So what I'm saying, brothers and sisters, if you want to relieve your stress, if you want to relieve your anxiety, you have to learn to adapt to new circumstances. And the best you are able to cope with changes, the better life are you going to have. But if you start complaining, that you don't have the things you used to have, or you're not able to do the things you used to do in the past, you're going to have a miserable life. Amen? So Noah has to adapt. And again, I want to emphasize this. I'm not promoting meat and eat, okay? But it was an adaptation they had to make at that point. It was necessary for survival, right? So there's going to be adaptation we have to make once we come out of this pandemic. They're talking about that already. And we have to adapt if we're going to be happy. All right? Before, and this is the last one, before this time, God had given man no permission to eat animal food. He intended that the race should subsist wholly upon the production of the earth. Means vegetable, right? But now that every green thing had been destroyed, he allowed them, amen, to eat the flesh of the clean beast that had been preserved in the ark. So God permitted, right? And I think maybe Noah found out that this was a good adaptation. He liked meat, but it was because of a reason specific for that situation. So this is Noah's response to isolation. His faith was increased. He developed gratitude to God, and he was able to adapt. Okay? So in my next presentation, we're going to talk about other characters that also were on isolation, and they respond in a different way. So it is my my desire that this morning, this afternoon already, as we go through this pandemic and this isolation time, be a time of reflection, be a time of for increasing our faith in God. Remain calm and relaxed, because God is in control. And don't forget to be grateful to God.
Amen.
Because all the blessings He has given us, to you, to me, and to our families. May God bless you all, and happy Sabbath again.